You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Today's topic is the halachas of Purvu, if a person gives birth to a child who is a shote and therefore doesn't have das, or, and it's a different sugya, a mamzer, and we'll see what the issue is with a mamzer. There are very specific issues with a mamzer and perhaps with a shote as well. So the sugya begins with the Gemara Yevamos. The Gemara Yevamos talks about a question that we've dealt with in the past, and we're going to take a few bits of this question and apply it to answer our question whether a shote, a child who's a shote, could fulfill the mitzvah of Purvu. Let's just think for a minute. If you remember when we talked about Purvu, we talked about Purvu, does the child have to be Jewish, the child has to be Miuchas Acharav, the child, does the child have to be knowledgeable, is the goal of Purvu to have children who are Shomri Mitzvahs, is the goal of Purvu just to populate the world, there's Sheves, there's also Purvu. So we had a Gemara Yevamos that we're going to look at right now on the top of your screens. Now let's say a person had children, but they died. So now is the father of these deceased children still in fulfillment of Purvu? So we have a Machlokas Amoraim. Gemara says, Itmar, how you lo banim of a mesu, Rav Huna Omar, ki and priya verivya, Rav Yochanan Omar lo kiya. Okay, so the Gemara Yevamos tells us that if a person has children and they die, he has 10 children and they die, like the Kleisberger Rebbe, I think the Baba Rebbe, in the Holocaust, and the whole family, they all die. So is the person still fulfilled to Purvu or not? So Rav Huna says, look at the Gemara Yevamos on top, Rav Huna Omar kiyem. Why? Based on Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, look at this line, Ein ben David ba, again, we saw this once before, but the line is incredible, Ein ben David ba, Mashiach is not going to come, ad sheyichlu kol neshamos shevat guf. There's a place up in Shemayim, as Rashi explains, there's an Otzar of Neshamos, up, way up in Shemayim, and that's Otzar, where all the Neshamos are stored, is called Guf, Gimel Vav Pei. And that place called Guf, when those Neshamos are released from that storehouse, then Mashiach will come. So what is Rav Asi saying? Rav Asi is saying that even if the child did die, God forbid, but the fact that the Neshama was brought to the world, it will allow the Mashiach to come, and therefore there was a productive creation, even if the child is no longer here, but we're one step closer to Mashiach, and therefore a person should be in fulfillment of Pruvu. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Loki and Pruvu, because the Sheves Yitzara B'inam, V'Haleka. Rabbi Yochanan says that in a case where the child is dead, again, we're not talking about a Shota here, in a case where the child is dead, then you need, you don't have Sheves. The whole point of Sheves is that the world should be populated, and the world is not populated if the child is dead. Again, I'm sorry, bear with me. Okay, so now, if we take that logic that was really discussed in the Gemara for a different issue, for a question of if a person had children who are dead, the Beis Yosef, interestingly enough, applies that logic to deal with our question, what happens if a person has a child who's a shota? Now, shota, you know, obviously we have ways of educating our special needs population nowadays, but it's fair to assume that a child who is born with Down syndrome, perhaps, or with high levels of autism, and other such special needs, would have a dinah shota. So if a person has such a child, and often it is the case that if they have such a child, you know, they're a little bit traumatized, rightfully so, and they might not want to have as many children, or they have to care so intensely for such a child, it is harder for them to have further children, so Are they able to just, you know, take a pause? Or do they fulfill mitzvah with the Purvu with this? So it says Beis Yosef, look at this Beis Yosef. Umatzasi kosov. Al ben cheresh v'shota. Lo yadana amai lokiyem mitzvahs priyav rivya. V'chigar migershin is gayer. If you have a ger who's megayer, this is going to be what we will learn next week. A ger is megayer and he had children when he was a guy. The halacha is that if he had children when he's a guy and he's megayer now, he fulfilled Purvu. We'll talk about that next week. But says the Beis Yosef, those non-Jewish children should be, why is that any better than a Jewish child who's a shota or a cheresh? Now he goes, now says the Beis Yosef, look at my sources. The Kaimel and Krib Yochanan, we hold that the point of Purvu is Sheves, right? You remember we had two opinions. One was that you brought all the neshamas out of this place in the heavens called Guf, and the other place was Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that you wanted to fulfill Sheves. Well, let's think about it. Did you fulfill Sheves did you populate the world? Look at the Beis Yosef says. You did populate the world with this child who is a shota. Why? Not because the child who's a shota is a populated world, but because that special needs child, yochel lisa ishul holud ben chacham. That's fascinating insight. It doesn't say that the special needs child in and of himself or herself fulfills Sheves, is considered habitating the world and populating the world. We could have said that. He doesn't say that. He says that that child, that special needs child, is able to at least biologically marry a woman and bear an intelligent child. Now, I'm not a geneticist, and I don't know how the genetics work if there's a mutation in a parent, and that parent gives birth, will that child continue bear that same mutation? Could the doctors on the call please clarify this for me? Any doctors who could remember their genetics classes from medical school 40 years ago? I know, Dr. Holland, you don't do genetics in the clinical.
There are those abnormalities which are carried over, and there are those which are not.
Okay, so some, at least, even if a child would have a genetic abnormality, it's possible that their child would be totally normal, theoretically. Okay, so at least there you have it. According to this Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef is telling us that the reason why this Shota child would be Shevis is because he could get married and have a normal child. If it were to be a case of a certain genetic abnormality, like that Hans was pointing out, where even if he would marry, he would give off to offspring that would have the same genetic abnormality, the same genetic mutation, if that's scientifically correct the way I'm saying it, then it sounds from this Beis Yosef that would not fulfill Shevis. So let's say, do you know, Dr. Hamdur, by any chance, if a Down syndrome child has a child himself or herself, will that child also have Down syndrome or Down syndrome? Do you know how Down syndrome works? I don't. Anyone know if Down syndrome child has a child?
Down syndrome children can bear children.
But yeah, will that child also have Down syndrome or it won't be passed on?
I don't think Down syndrome people can bear children.
Oh, they can't? Biologically?
I don't think they can.
There's something wrong with that chromosome? Okay, I don't know. Okay, we have to get a geneticist on our calls. So that's the first line of the Beis Yosef. The second line of the Beis Yosef, he says, wait, what about the other Svara? You remember we had another Svara that we saw in the Gemara in Vamos? Rav Asi says that as long as the whole point of having a child is to take those neshamas from the storehouse in Shemayim and bring them from the storehouse in Shemayim into the world and give life to a neshama. Well, look what he says. Hai Nami, this child also, this Shota who's born, neshama yeshlo. That's important to keep in mind. He has a neshama. Ubar mitzvahu.
Google says that the female Down syndrome can have a 15% chance of fertility. There's no recorded male Down syndrome that has been fertile.
Wow, so they're not fertile. That's fascinating.
So 15 to 30% female Down syndrome can be fertile, and of the ones that are fertile, 50% will not have Down syndrome of the offspring.
That's fascinating. So female Down syndrome can have a child, but a male Down syndrome is not fertile. The Beis Yosef says that according to Rav Asi, that the whole point of having children, the inyan of Pru Revu, is to take those neshamas that are in that heavenly storehouse and bring them to the world. So even if a child is a special needs child or a shota or a whatever level of mental retardation, severe mental retardation, even if they're not really going to be obligated mitzvahs, they're still considered bar mitzvah. What does the Beis Yosef mean by saying bar mitzvah? He doesn't mean that they're actually going to become chayvim mitzvahs, because we know the shota is the classical person who is obviously not chayvim mitzvahs. But he says, he explains himself. He's a bar mitzvah in the sense of, could you take a child who's a child who's a shota, severely autistic, are you allowed to feed them non-kosher food? Yadayim? Clearly not, of course not. In the same way you cannot feed a katan non-kosher food, you can't feed a shota non-kosher food. So if you can't feed them non-kosher food, that means that what? That they have an neshama. Clearly, of course they have an neshama. And therefore, if it's clear, says the Beis Yosef, that a person who has such special needs, and they're entirely a shota, they are completely considered to be Jewish, they're completely considered to have an neshama. In certain situations, as we Googled a few minutes ago, Dr. Hamdish told us, there are certain situations where they can bear children, at least some can bear children, and children will not be genetically abnormal. So therefore, clearly the Beis Yosef comes out, la halacha, that a shota is considered a fulfillment. A child, a parent who has a child who's a shota, is in fulfillment of Purvu. And that's exactly how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, Rama says, Hoya ben mamzer, which we'll talk about afterwards. We're not up to that yet. Ocheresh shota v'katan kiyem ha-mitzvah. And that is the conclusion of this first piece, almost the conclusion of this first piece, that if a person has children who are shotim, they do fulfill Purvu. Now, I want to make 2 points. First of all, when a person experiences a miscarriage, or especially a late-term miscarriage, or has a special needs child, I feel that the Gemara that we just learned is a very, very big chizuk. If you hear of somebody, you encounter somebody, or relative, a friend, or a relative of a friend of a relative, who goes through this trauma of either miscarriage or bearing a special needs child, I think it is a very good idea to share with them this Gemara of Yevamis, the Shita of Rav Asi. Rav Asi says the point of that when a person brings a neshama to the world, takes the neshama out of this place, storehouse in heaven called Guf, and brings the neshama to the world, that's bringing Mashiach a step closer. Whether the person will ever become a brain surgeon or not, that's a different question. Whether the person will be able to become a Talmud Chacham, that's a different question. But any neshama that we bring, even if a person has, God forbid, a miscarriage, we believe that the neshama is created when? At conception. So if a person has a miscarriage, let's say a woman, God forbid, has a miscarriage in month number 4. So that means, did she create a neshama? Did the parents create a neshama? 100% yes. What's the proof? The proof is that are you allowed to do an abortion? You're not allowed to do an abortion for a 4-month-old. Another proof. Are you allowed to be mechallel Shabbos to save a pregnant woman, to save not the woman, her fetus? Let's say a woman on Yom Kippur, she comes to me and she says, Rabbi, I feel great, but the doctor says that my fetus is is in a difficult situation, and the doctor says I have to drink on Yom Kippur so that my fetus could live. And the fetus, I became pregnant 3 weeks ago. Three-week pregnancy. So the answer is, of course, she could drink, because we're mechallel Shabbos d'oraisa. We eat on Yom Kippur d'oraisa, not just to save a woman, but to save a fetus also, a number of fetus. That means that we'll be mechallel mitzvah aseh d'oraisa for the sake of the fetus. That's clearly an indication that the fetus has a neshama. And it's clearly an indication that the fetus if a fetus has a neshama, so any fetus that is born, any fetus that is conceived, I mean, therefore, even if a woman has a miscarriage, even an early-term miscarriage, certainly later-term, but even early-term, or, lahavdil, a special needs child, they are bringing, through that, bearing that child or that conception, they are bringing Mashiach one step closer, in a very real way, as Rav Asi says, Ashiach l'kol neshama shebe gof. So that's what I think is a very big chizuk, if done appropriately and sensitively, to somebody who experienced such a traumatic event. That's point number one. Just to finish this section, you see my purple? Could you look at the Ramah? There's a funny mistake in the Ramah that I wonder. I saw somebody smiling a few minutes ago, but some of you, I can't see your smiles or not smiles. There's a mistake. Look at what the Ramah says. The Ramah says, if you have a child who is a cheresho to the katan, you fulfill the mitzvah puravu. Which word doesn't belong there? Again, you have a child who's a cheresho to the katan. You fulfill puravu.
Katan, all children are katanim.
Doctor, what do you say?
All children are katanim.
That the hell do you? I see you trying to talk.
All children are katanim.
Can't hear you.
All children are katanim.
I can't hear you. Is it just me? Okay, I think that the hell found it. You don't have to. Of course, cheresho to a katan. What do you mean katan? Every baby that you give birth to is a katan, right? Every baby, whenever you give birth, you never give birth to a 14-year-old boy or a 13-year-old girl. Of course, you give birth to a katan. So it doesn't mean katan. It's just the word katan was just slipped in when you say cheresho to a katan. Cheresho to a katan means somebody that does. But really, of course, it means cheresho to. So how you have been mamzer or cheresh shota and leave the word katan came amitzvah. That's what the Pesach Shuvah points out. L'chora agav shitfei nakat katan. It only says the word katan like as part of the flow. When it's the flow of the words, cheresh to a katan. But of course, every baby you give birth to is a katan. Okay, so that was the end of this sugya. And halacha l'maisa, if a person gives birth to a shota, a child with Down syndrome, a child with severe autism, or anything else, any other genetic abnormality, 100% they are in fulfillment of the mitzvah of pruvu. There is no cholik. There is no one who argues. No one says otherwise. Okay, now we're going to get into a more complicated sugya, and that is what happens if a person gives birth to a child who's a mamzer. Now there are two ways you can give birth to a child who's a mamzer. One is permitted, and one is not permitted. Let's talk about the case that a heter. You have a kid who's a mamzer. Okay, he didn't do anything wrong. Maybe his mother did something wrong, but he's a totally nice, he's the best guy in the yeshiva, the best guy in Lakewood, he's a mamzer. Okay, so this best kid in Lakewood who's a mamzer gets married to a mamzeres, a gioras, and they build a wonderful, beautiful family, altaras, akodesh, a wonderful taradika family. It happens to be that kid's children will be mamzerim. So why should that kid not be, why should they not be in fulfillment of puravu? Okay, that's what it seems. That's one way to have a mamzer.
What's the relevance of the question? If it's inevitable that any product of him will be a mamzer as well, then why is this even...
Let's now say the other side of the coin, and then you'll appreciate the question more. The other way to create a mamzer is if a person lives with tenacious ish, and that's terrible. Or if a person lives with, commits incest, God forbid, and has a union with some prohibited relative, a parent, a sibling, a child, and through that incest is born a child, that kid is, of course, going to be a mamzer. So should that kid, who's born from incest, be considered a fulfillment of Puravu? So let's look at a Mishnah in Yefamis. That's going to be the topic of the second half of our shiur, and that's Mishnah Yefamis. Mishnah Yefamis says the following. Mishi yesh lo ben mikol makom. Somebody has a child from anywhere. We're going to focus on those two words, from anywhere. A person who has a kid from anywhere, that kid exempts his mother from Yibam, potres eishes av min ha-Yibam, and that child, whoever that child might be, has an issa d'oraisa to hit his father and to curse his father. And then the Mishnah says, ubeno l'chol davar. And that child is his son. Wherever you have a son, however you have a son, whoever your son is, however you get this son, he's your son, l'chol davar. What does it mean that if you got this son, mikol makom, from anywhere? The Gemara says, mikol makom, when the Mishnah said that Mishi yesh lo ben mikol makom, from anywhere, you had a son from anywhere. What does it mean from anywhere? I mean, you have a son from your wife, of course, right? Amar Rav Yehuda la'asuye mamzer. To tell you that even if you had a son who's a mamzer, still, he has all the halachas of a son, including that there's no yibum, and that if the son hits his father or curses his father, he's chayav misa, and L'chol davar, for all matters that a father and a son have halachos, a mamzer is included. Well, one of the things of l'chol davar is clearly, one of the aspects of having a son is not that the son has to be mechabed and can't hit and can't curse, it's also that the father fulfilled puravu by having that son. And if the Mishnah says explicitly, b'no l'chol davar, it's clear that it includes puravu, in which case it seems that we have an explicit Mishnah and Gemara in Yevamos Daf Chaf Beis that says that if you have a son who's a mamzer, you fulfill the mitzvah of puravu. And this is what the Ritva says explicitly. He quotes this Mishnah, the Ritva says, "B'no l'chol davar, Amrina b'Yerushalmi b'no l'chol davar afilu l'priya v'rivya. Yerushalmi says explicitly that which the Mishnah and the Bavli don't mention, just including the general category of b'no l'chol davar, which is a general term. The Yerushalmi specifies a mamzer is your son even for priya v'rivya. So if you, a person would be ma'anes an eshes ish or commit incest, God forbid, and had a son from that prohibited union, that child would be a fulfillment of pruvu. That's what we see from this explicit Yerushalmi and this not explicit Bavli, but it seems to be true from the Bavli as well.
Now, how's that possible? Mitzvah Babaveru.
That's going to be the theme. That's going to be the everything after we do the next verse. That's going to be the rest of this year. Mr. Seligson, you hit the nail on the head. Thank you. We'll get there. That's exactly the question we're going to raise in a moment. Okay. Now, before you raise your question, you stole my thunder. We have to keep in mind that, again, there are two ways to have a mamzer. Like I mentioned, you can have a mamzer beheter if you're a mamzer and you marry Gyoris or a mamzer, which is completely appropriate, right? You call a shadchan and you say, hi, please find me a shidduch. It happens to be I'm a mamzer, so I can only marry another mamzer. I can marry mamzeris. I can marry a Gyoris. Please find me a nice kala. And he'll take out his mamzer list and he'll give you some mamzerim, he'll give you some gioruses, and you'll build a beautiful family. So that's beheter. Says the Rashba, not only is that kind of mamzer in fulfillment of pruvu, until now all we saw was that a mamzer fulfills pruvu. Maybe it's a mamzer who was born beheter. The Rashba takes this a step further. And Bavarns with Ben Seligson raised, the Rashba says, Garcina b'Yerushalmi, b'no l'chol davar priya l'priya v'rivya, I'm skipping a word, lomer to teach you, sha'af al pisha nolad ba'aveira, it still fulfills pruvu. So the Rashba is extending the Yerushalmi and the Ritva to tell us that even if the mamzer was born in the worst possible way, again, a man lived with an Eshes Ish and had a mamzer, even there, even though the child was born mamash ba'aveira, it still is in fulfillment of Pru Urvu. Okay. Now, if we open up, we already opened up the Shulchan Aruch when we wanted to learn about Ashokta. Let's just look back at what the Shulchan Aruch said. If you remember 5 minutes ago, the Shulchan Aruch said, the Rama told us, I mean, so the Shulchan Aruch passes this way. Indeed, if a person gives birth to a mamzer, they fulfill the mitzvah of peruvah. Great. Now, on that Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Shmuel, one of the commentators on their side of the Shulchan Aruch, quotes a very unusual Sefer Chassidim. Very unusual Sefer Chassidim. I don't know what it means. Look at what I have highlighted on the screen. Mamzer. Why? Not because a mamzer isn't good enough to be counted. The Kaimelon mamzer ain't chai. We have a tradition that Hashem doesn't allow mamzerim to live. A boy who's a kid who's a mamzer, Hashem is going to see to it that that child will not live because it will mess up society.
Only if people don't know about it.
That's going to be the next line. So at this line, it sounds like if a mamzer is not going to live, we learned that if a person has children who died, it was machlokas. But I think we pass on if a person whose children died, at least according to some, he lost his peruvu. He has to have new kids. So if a person has a child who's a mamzer, the Sefer Hasidim says that if the mamzerim, Hashem is going to see to it that this mamzer is going to die so it doesn't mess up the marriage structure of society. So if the child won't live, so the parent did not fulfill peruvu.
Even if the parent predeceives to the child. I mean, the child's going to have a short lifespan, but it's possible he'll outlive his parents. So when his father dies, he will indeed be in existence. I mean, right?
What you're saying is good. You're saying in a specific case. The Beis Shmuel does it in a different way.
Yeah.
In a way that makes things a little bit more comfortable, because it's pretty harsh to assume that, any mamzer, any poor innocent mamzer who's born, remember, the mother might be a not nice girl, but the kid, mamzer, is a good, didn't do anything wrong. So why should all mamzers have to die? It's a terribly harsh, decree to even assume such a thing. Hashem should work like that. Now that we understand his ways, but that's a pretty harsh, statement. So says the Beis Shmuel, what Avi mentioned earlier, for Esher has Sefer Chassidim Airi, the Sefer Chassidim who says that mamzerim all die, kishe'enu yodua shehu mamzer. Oz mamzer enu chai. If we have a case of a mamzer who nobody knows that the kid's a mamzer, so that person will be a tremendous michshol for Klal Yisrael. We're not talking about a suffix mamzer. We're talking about a vader mamzer, but nobody knows about it. This person's being a mamzer. The mother didn't disclose that really this child who she bore is not really from her husband, but it's from an affair that she had with some other man, and really the kid's a vader mamzer. So Hashem will see to that very specific scenario of a mamzer who nobody knows about, who could, God forbid, mess up the family structures of Klal Yisrael and ruin generations in the future, that Hashem will see to that child won't live. Avalim yoduduhu mamzer, kiyama pruvu das chai. If you have a mamzer who is known to be a mamzer, there's no reason why Hashem has to make him not be alive and not continue a nice, wonderful life, because if he's a mamzer, he'll do everything that a mamzer needs to do. He'll tell the shadchan, I'm ready to go out, but please set me up with people who I can marry. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing to be ashamed of in terms of his own life and the life that he will build. Okay, he became a mamzer when he was born. It wasn't his fault. But he'll marry a mamzeres, he'll marry a gioras, and then he'll live. Okay. So according to this, that's just one odd opinion of the Sefer Chassidim, that if there's a mamzer who's unknown, maybe that person won't be fulfilled to prove, but not because he's a mamzer. Not because the kid's a mamzer, but rather because the kid is a mamzer and therefore won't live. And it's the fact that he won't live that makes the kid not able to fulfill Puruva.
When you say he won't live, are we assuming that he will die before he reaches age of marrying and having children? That would prevent the michshol. Therefore, if somebody a situation comes up where somebody raises a question, this person might be a mamzer, but he's already almost under the chuppah, you might say, well, if he's alive, then obviously he's not a mamzer.
I don't know how to answer that question.
To Ben's Torah.
Yeah. Do you bring a proof? I don't know. That's beyond me. I'm sorry.
Ramesha had a shaila about a fellow that found that he's a mamzer. Ramesha, I think, advised him to go to Sudan, where slavery at that time was still legal, and take for himself a shifa kananis, live with her, have a child, and then be megayer, the wife and child, and raise them as their own family. Halachically, the child would not be his because it was born to a shifcha kananis.
Right.
And that way they could have, at least have a normal family structure.
A normal family structure where the children that he's creating are not mamzerim like.
Right. However,
as opposed to if he would marry another mamzer, or if he would marry a gyoros, which is permitted for him, the children and the lineage would still be a future lineage of mamzerim.
Right. So he would not be yotzei puruvu because the child is a milchus him.
Right. It's a non-Jewish child. Then it's not
milchus him. Does he still have the fee of a puruvu? Considering that children born to him halachically would be mamzerim?
So that's going to be a discussion we might talk about at the end of this year. That's a good question. If a person has a child with a shifcha, the child is not his child. It's the shifcha and the master's child, not his own child. So interestingly enough, we'll talk about it at the very end of this year. It's the last point of this year. Okay. We're actually going to talk about the issue you just raised about marrying a shifcha kananis as a way to save the... You're pointing as a way to avoid a mamzer question, and that is a way to avoid mamzerim by creating shifcha kananis. I hear that you say that Ramosha said go to Sudan where slavery is legal. Theoretically, even if slavery is illegal, you might still be able to... Whatever. Complicated.
14th Amendment.
What?
14th Amendment.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure it's illegal. It's subordinate. You'll find them there. I don't know if it's officially the government, but they do have it.
It is now illegal, but I think in the 80s it was still legal. Uh-huh.
Okay.
But Kalish tells a story of someone in Lakewood who actually did that. Many years ago, we talked about that story.
Wow.
Somebody in Lakewood who found out late in life or something.
Wow. Okay. The Prima Gadim wants to... Let's see. Maybe we'll skip this piece. It's a Gishmaka point because it's really based on what we're saying right now. We know that if somebody's a Chatzi Ever Chatzi Ben Choron, this is the famous Mishnah that you remember from Gittin. Let's look at this Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about a Chatzi Ever Chatzi Ben Choron, right? You have a person who was sold into slavery, who was purchased for slavery by two partners. One frees him, one doesn't free him, so you have a Chatzi Ever Chatzi Ben Choron. And so we have a big machlokas. Basil says, no problem. He's a Chatzi Ever Chatzi Ben Choron. So on Monday he'll work, Sunday he'll work for his master, Monday he'll work for himself. Tuesday he'll work for his master, Wednesday he'll work for himself. Thursday he'll work for his master, Friday he'll work for himself. Shabbos he's off anyway. That's Basil's opinion. No problem. Leave it as a Chatzi Chatzi. Because Bishamai says, the famous line, Bishamai says, Tikatimus Rabbo, you took care of his obligations to work for this master, for himself, but him as a human being, you haven't reckoned with that, his identity, he's not going to be able to get married. At least a Shifcha, you have sure he can't marry a Shifcha because he's half free man. He can't marry a free woman because he's half Evid. So you want him not to have any children. The whole world was created for the purpose of populating the world. This is the Pasuk in Yeshaya that teaches us the mitzvah of Shabbos, that you have to have children. So how can you leave somebody as a chatzi eved chatzi ben choron, ella mepreitikna olam, concludes the Mishnah, kofenis rabav osa osa ben choron. We don't want to have this mitzias of a man who halachically is not permitted to get married. We don't want such a thing, that a person just can't get married. No such thing. There can't be any human being who we will not allow to get married to somebody. And therefore, if you tell me a chatzi chatzi can't get married, can't be, says Beis Shammai. And therefore, we're going to force the master to free this eved, his share of the eved, and allow the person to get married. And indeed, Beis Hillel was moda, unusually enough, Beis Hillel, I don't remember any other Mishnah where it says this, chazu Beis Hillel horos kedri Beis Shammai. Now, the Mishnah said that this chatzi chatzi can't marry anybody. Asks Tosfos, Avim Tomer, why can't he marry a mamzeres? What do you mean he can't marry? I have somebody he can marry. Because we know that an eved, the eved half of him, he's a chatzi eved chatzi b'chor, the eved half of him is allowed to marry mamzeres. And the free man half of him is also allowed to marry mamzeres. If he's a freed Eved, which he is, right, he was freed by one of his masters, he is allowed to marry mamzeres. So Tosus says, so what's Tosus' question? Tosus' question is, why are you telling me that a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin can't get married to anybody at all? No, doesn't have any future of marriage. He could marry mamzeres. Let's stop there. Tosus assumes that you see that a mamzer could get married. Vamra Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, it's not such a, what kind of marriage is that? Einzu takana l'harbas mamzerim b'Yisrael. He's going to be able to get married, but he's going to end up having children who are mamzerim, and we don't want to, you know, we don't want to continue this legacy of mamzerim in Klal Yisrael. It sounds like that's the only problem. The question was, how could you have a person who doesn't get married and can't have children, can't be purvu? The answer is, it's just not convenient, but really he could. He could marry mamzeres. You see what? You see that mamzeres can, if he would get married, if this person would marry mamzeres and have mamzerim lach, he would be in fulfillment of purvu. This is not the kind of thing that we want to generate in Klal Yisrael going forward, to have more mamzerim lach. But it sounds that you could, the whole Gemara is the whole problem that the Mishnah has, that we don't want, he can't get married, why? Because he's not going to fulfill purvu. So it says, oh, but yes, he could marry mamzeres and have mamzerim as children. You see clearly that if you have mamzerim as children, you do fulfill the mitzvah of purvu. That's just a very, a little bit complicated, but a beautiful proof that you do fulfill the mitzvah of purvu with a mamzer.
And is that the appropriate course of action?
Not for now. Tosa says not.
He should be celibate?
He shouldn't do that. What?
He should be celibate?
I don't know how to answer that question. You're saying, is it better to have... No. The better solution is just to force the rabbi to free him so he could marry anybody who he wants. That's what Tosis is saying. If you have a chatzi, you have a chatzi b'chon, even though he could marry mamzer, it's better to... We'd rather force the master to free his side of the eved than to let this eved marry mamzer and create a lineage of future mamzer.
Very easy for us to say.
Yes, but it's harder for that master, and that's why the chachamim have the power to force this master to lose $25,000 for the sake of, or $50,000 for the sake of the future, marital future and familial future of this unfortunate soul. Okay, now we're going to go to Rabbi Seligson's question that he asked 20 minutes ago. Wait a second. If we're talking about a mamzer who's created b'derech iser, meaning through incest or through adultery with a married woman, and that's how the mamzer is born, we're saying that that mamzer does fulfill the mitzvah of puruvu. Wait a second. That, how can you fulfill a mitzvah, a puruvu, if the way that you did the mitzvah was by violating an iser of adultery or incest? The product of that union is a mamzer and is fulfillment of a mitzvah, but you did it b'aveira. So how could you be yotze the mitzvah of puruvu by having a mamzer b'iser? The Radvaz indeed holds exactly like this. Look at the shah that was yesterday. Radvaz again was a very early Risha, a very early Achron, and again he's one of my favorite shahs of Chuvah Svarim. Mishi yesh lebanu mamzerim, im kiyu priya v'rivya ulo. So it says, the Radvaz starts out the way we started out, by saying, of course, we learned before that if you have a mamzer, he's your son in all matters, and all matters should include that you fulfill puruvu. However, it says Radvaz, but if you look more deeply, it's not so simple. Da'afal gavdu b'nolachol davar, even though this child is halachically your son for all matters, your mamzer's son is your son, however, it's still a mitzvah above avera. And we know a rule that whenever you fulfill a mitzvah, via an aver, v'lo yatzi dechavaso. Whenever you fulfill a mitzvah, and the only way you fulfill the mitzvah is through or via committing an avera, the mitzvah is not considered a mitzvah. And even more so, says the Radvaz, this is an interesting twist, says the Radvaz, even more so when it's a really big avera. It's a really big avera. Right, this is a mitzvah, this is an avera that didn't just, it's not just an ugly mitzvah, it's also a mitzvah that bears itself out in this child being created as a lifelong mamzer. So it's a really big avera. Where do we see that if you do the... You see, we could argue that if it's a mitzvah above avera, don't do it, but the mitzvah still counts as a mitzvah. So he says, no, he brings a proof. If you steal wheat, and from that wheat you bake your matzah. I think he's talking about matzah. I don't remember if he's talking about matzah or he's just talking about making brachas. You steal wheat and you bake bread, you bake a challah. The Gemara says, when you make a bracha on that challah, ein ze mevarich el menayitz. What do you mean? You didn't do anything wrong? I mean, you stole. Yeah, you did something wrong. You stole, but that was last week. Now I'm eating bread and I'm washing hamotzi. Of course, I'm going to say hamotzi. I'm an Orthodox Jew. Well, maybe not an Orthodox Jew because you stole last week. Says the Gemara, oh, you're menayit. You're blasphemer by making a bracha. You see that it's not considered a mitzvah. Why? Because it came through stealing last week. Fine. The problem is, the Radvaz is arguing that there's no mitzvah of puruvu because you had a mamzer. What's the problem? Didn't we start this shiur? I'm going to scroll up for a minute. Don't you remember we had an explicit Yerushalmi? Don't you remember we had a Yerushalmi? The Rashba quoted an explicit Yerushalmi, Gassinu v'Yerushalmi, B'no l'chol davar. If you have a mamzer, he's your son, l'chol davar, apfil apri v'rivya, v'lishnia. What that means is that he's your son, and he'll have the shnios la'arayos. Right? The shnios la'arayos, the secondary, the drabonans of arayos, we're not getting into that now. Loma, the Yerushalmi says explicitly, sh'afal pishnol da ba'avera. I'm sorry, that's the end of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi said explicitly that a mamzer fulfills puruvu. A mamzer fulfills puruvu. So we have an explicit Yerushalmi. How could Radvaz argue? How could the Radvaz argue that, oh, it's a mitzvah b'avera, you're not going to fulfill puruvu with a mamzer?
Isn't it a mitzvah b'avera, shnas drabanon? notwithstanding the Yitzmachtus and the Psukim, at the end of the day, I think...
Great, okay, so Mr. Bergman is suggesting one answer. Maybe that which, a mitzvah by Bavir, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, that itself is only on a Drabbana level. Good, that's answer number one. Great. I like that. We'll deal with that in a minute. I have another answer. Maybe, when did the Yerushalmi say that mitzvah baba, that your mamzer child is a fulfillment of Peruvu? Maybe he's talking about a case where what? Where you had this mamzer.
The parent of the mamzer was better.
Right, where the mamzer, you had a mamzer beheter. The father was a mamzer. He married another mamzeris girl, or he married a gay gyores. So there, the kid's a mamzer, but it was beheter. Those are two answers that you could say. The Radvaz is not going to take either of them. The Radvaz is going to say, no, Yerushalmi's wrong. Mr. Radvaz, you're a very big Talmud Chacham, but you can't say Yerushalmi's wrong. But you know what he could say? He could say, we misread the Yerushalmi. The Radvaz is going to say, this Yerushalmi is a Tos Sofer. There's a mistake in this Yerushalmi. Look at this. You remember the Yerushalmi said that your son is your son, that a mamzer is your son, l'chol davar, even for Peruvu, and then he added the word Ulishnia, and for a second, Minyato Ulishnia Slarayas, look at what the Radvaz says. Those Rishonim who quote the Yerushalmi, the Ritva, the Rashba, the Ramban, they quote the Yerushalmi to say that you're allowed to have that a mamzer counts as Peruvu, they had the wrong gears of the Yerushalmi. This is the right gears of the Yerushalmi. This is the, look how he says it now. Again, Yerushalmis are a little bit different than our Bavli's way to read. Boy Rabun, Rabun asked the following question. Look how I'm going to read it. It all depends on how you can read. Let me tell you a story first, and then I'm going to read this Radvaz to you. There's a story of a Rosh Yeshiva. I heard this from Chaim Goldich, Zatzal, the founder of Rosh Yeshiva Kamp Yamna. He would say, the Rosh Yeshiva comes to Baal Bas and says, we have to build a dormitory, and we have to give the boys good food for our yeshiva. You have to give a really nice donation to help us build our yeshiva. And the Baal Bas is a little bit learned. He said, what do you mean, Rabbi? The Mishnah says, Pas b'melch tochal, maiv b'mesur shishta, al aris tisha, and that the yeshiva boys should be sleeping on the floor. The yeshiva boys should be drinking water and bread. What do you want a big donation from me? And the Rosh Yeshiva says, no. You read the Mishnah wrong. The Mishnah is read like this. Pas b'melch tochal. It's all matter how you read it as with a period or with a question mark. That's exactly what this Radvaz is about to do. He's going to say that which the Rishonim thought the Yerushalmi was saying as a statement that a mamzer is a pru'urvu, fulfilled is your son for all matters, wasn't the statement of the Yerushalmi, but is a question of the Yerushalmi. An unanswered question of the Yerushalmi. Look at how he reads it. Boy Rivbun. Rivbun asked, this is the quote of his quote of the Shami. B'nohu l'chol davar afilu l'pri aviriv'ya? V'hachi perusho. Shol Rivbun. It's a question. V'lo pashto. V'nishu ha'dar b'sapik etzlo. That the Yerushalmi is leaving it as a question mark. It's not that the Yerushalmi is saying that a mamzer counts as a kid, even for Puruvu. The Yerushalmi is asking, is there Puruvu for a mamzer? And the Yerushalmi doesn't leave it as an answer. Anyway, Rabosai, the Radvaz says that there's a problem of mitzvah haba b'aveira, and therefore mamzer is not in fulfillment of Peruvu. Of course, that's against all the Rishonim. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. Clearly, we're not going to buy this Radvaz. It's against all the Rishonim and the Psak, the accepted Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. But what about his question? Isn't it a problem of mitzvah haba b'aveira? I want to finish with this point because this is a very lumdish point and it's a very geshmaka point. You know who asks this question? The Michas Chinuch asks this question. This is a famous Michas Chinuch at the very beginning of Michas Chinuch. He says, I don't understand. I've had this question for years, says the Michas Chinuch. Zeh zman kabir, a very long time. Mikshesi, delama yatsi yedei chavaso. Valo having mitzvah haba b'aveira. And this is going to relate to what Mr. Bergman asked. You asked Mr. Bergman, oh, maybe that which a mitzvah haba b'aveira doesn't count as a mitzvah is only chumra d'rabbanan in itself. Says the Michas Chinuch. Uledas harbei rishonim, mitzvah haba b'aveira, min ha-Torah eino yotzei. There are many rishonim who say that even midoraisa you don't fulfill the mitzvah if it came via an iser. Okay, right. What? Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think it's in Brachas, right? Yeah, person has mamzer, nothing to fix. Can never be fixed. Okay, thank you. So this, Rabosai, is going to be a very well-known answer of the Michas Chinuch. We're going to see now, we'll finish the show with this. It's a very lumdish point, geshmaka point, and it's a well-known chiddush of the Michas Chinuch. The Michas Chinuch says, when do we say mitzvah baba vera? You didn't fulfill the mitzvah. When is saying mitzvah baba vera? As you're fulfilling the mitzvah, you're doing an aveira. You're doing a ma'aseh aveira, and that ma'aseh aveira is bringing you to the mitzvah. Gentlemen, I have a very simple question for you. What is the mitzvah of pru'urvu? Is the mitzvah of pru'urvu to have the bia? Or is the mitzvah of pru'urvu to be there in the maternity wing when your wife is having a kid and to greet your child into the world?
The ma'aseh mitzvah is the bia.
So that's my question. My question is the mitzvah the bia, or is the mitzvah the having children? And I'll prove to you. Well, let's just speak these two sides out. If we assume the mitzvah is the bia, you have a really tough question. If this is a bias iser, if you're having adultery, and that's how you're having this mamzer, you're doing the bias iser. So if the mitzvah is the bias, so the mitzvah is the iser. I'm sorry. The bias is asura, and at the same time, it's the mitzvah. That can't be. That's going to be mitzvah babavera. There's not going to be a mitzvah there. If, however, we say the mitzvah of pruvu is not to do the act of trying to bear children, but actually being a father of children. When you have, 9 months later, after your wife was pregnant for 9 months, yeah, but you bring a child into the world, that's the mitzvah of pruvu. Well, you did an avera. Yes, you did. 9 months ago. That's nothing to do with my mitzvah. My mitzvah is now to have children. I have children. That's the minchas chinuch chiddush. Minchas chinuch chiddush says, you know why a mamzer does count as pruvu? Because the mitzvah is not to have the bias. The mitzvah is not to make your wife conceive. The mitzvah is to be a father of children. That is the mitzvah of pruvu. And since the mitzvah is to be the father of children, that's unrelated to the issa that was involved in how you got these children by committing adultery or by committing incest, God forbid. Look at the lashon of the Mechas Chinuch. Nehi d'ha mitzvah shel habanim ba'al yivdei avera d'bias iser. Yes, it came because you did a bias iser months ago. But that's not the mitzvah aseh of pruvu. Mikol makom. Ha mitzvah aseh hainu habanim. Being the father of children, not fathering children, but being the father of children, that's the mitzvah of pruvu. You have kids, you fulfill pruvu. I don't say how you got the kids. That's a different point. Ha be'il hurak hechsher mitzvah. The bia that happened 9 months ago is just the hechsher mitzvah. And therefore, right now, I'll show you a proof. I'll show you a proof. One case that we have. Let's say a person fulfilled pruvu when he was a guy. Let me rephrase it. A person had kids when he was a guy. And now he's megayer. Guess what? As we're going to learn next week, he's in fulfillment of pruvu. Can I ask you a question? When did he have those bias? He had those bias when his name was Christopher Mick something or other. Christopher McDonald. He had those bias. And now that he converts and he becomes Yankel Friedman, Yankel McDonald, I guess. He's in fulfillment of pruvu. Why? There's no Maisa Mitzvah that he did. It must be that right now he's a Jew and he has children to his name. So he's in fulfillment of the Mitzvah because he has children. I'll give you another proof. Do you remember we talked about Notzra Ba'ambati last week or 2 weeks ago? Not last week. Last year we talked about Notzra Ba'ambati. If a person left his seed in a pool and a woman gets impregnated by swimming in that pool, in that bathtub. Or nowadays we'll call it an intrauterine insemination. If they take the husband's zera and they shoot it through a syringe up into the woman's body. So we saw, Beis Shmuel said that your fulfillment of, you fulfill the mitzvah pruvu. Can I ask you, there's no maisa mitzvah. What do you mean you fulfill the mitzvah pruvu? There's no maisa mitzvah. A guy was swimming in a pool. And 5 hours later, a woman went swimming in the pool. Yes, it's his son, genetically, 100%. Why is he in fulfillment of the mitzvah? He didn't do anything. He didn't do a bia at all. Oh, but are those his kids? Yes, they are. You see, he's the father of children. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to do a maisa bia to have children. The mitzvah is to be the father of children, however it happens. Even if it happens through a non-bia apparatus, like a bathtub, or like a doctor's office where there's an injection of zera into the woman. So that's IUI, intrauterine insemination. Yeah, so we have a few proofs that the Mechas Chinuch could use to prove that the mitzvah is not the bia. The mitzvah is just the having of the children. And if that's the case, the bia was just a hechsher mitzvah. I don't care if it was bi'isr. Even though, yes, the Radvaz is right, that the bia was asura, and mitzvah b'aveir should mess you up entirely. But says the Mechas Chinuch that bia ha'asura was not the same thing as the mitzvah. The mitzvah is 9 months later when you actually have a little baby that's you know, a cute little baby. That's the mitzvah. The bia previously, numbers earlier, was just a hechsher mitzvah, and we don't say mitzvah b'aveir on a hechsher mitzvah. You steal a shofar, right? And then you blow it a week later. You're yotze, right?
Lulav ha'gazal is pasul even after year.
That's because of lechem, right?
Even after year. Even after year, lechem is not a problem. All
right,
interesting.
Right, so that's, we'll have to get into that. So,
you have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.